Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. So we're continuing our reading from the first canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. This is chapter 3, Krishna, the source of all incarnations. And today's text is text 8. Tritiyam Rishi Sargam Vai Devarshitam Upetya Sah Tantram Satatam Achashta Naishkarmyam Karmanam Yataha Tritiyam Rishi Sargam Vai Devarshitvam Upetya Saha Tantrang Satatam Achashta Naishkarmyam Karmanam Yataha Tritiyam Rishi Sargam Vai Devarshitvam Upetya Saha Tantrang Satatam Achashta Naishkarmyam Karmanam Yataha Tritiyam Rishi Sargam Vai Devarshitvam Upetya Saha Tantrang Satatam Achashta Naishkarmyam Karmanam Yataha. Please chant. Tritiyam Rishi Sargam Vai Devarshi Tvam Upetya Saha Tantrang Satvatam Achashta Naishkarmyam Karmanam Yataha Tritiyam Rishi Sargam Vai Devarshitvam Upetya Saha Tantrang Satatam Achashta Naishkarmyam Karmanam Yataha Tritiyam Rishi Sargam Vai Devarshitvam Upetya Saha Tantrang Satatam Achashta Naishkarmyam Karmanam Yataha Vaishnavis. Tritiyam Rishi Sargam Vai Devarshitvam Upetya Saha Tantrang Satatam Achashta Naishkarmyam Karmanam Yataha Tritiyam Rishi Sargam Vai Devarshitvam Upetya Saha Tantrang Satatam Achashta Naishkarmyam Karmanam Yataha So, synonyms, Tritiyam, the third one, Rishi Sargam, the millennium of the Rishis, Vai, certainly, Devarshitam. Incarnation of the Rishi amongst the demigods. Upetya. Having accepted. Saha. He. Tantram. Exposition of the Vedas. Satvatam. Which is especially meant for devotional service. Achashta. Collected. Naishkarmyam. Non-fruitive. Karmanam. Of work. Yataha. From which? Srila Prabhupada's translation for this verse. In the millennium of the Rishis, the personality of Godhead accepted the third empowered incarnation in the form of Devarshi Narada, who is a great sage among the demigods. He collected expositions of the Vedas which deal with devotional service and which inspire non-fruitive action. Please repeat. In the millennium of the Rishis, the personality of Godhead accepted the third empowered incarnation in the form of Devarshi Narada, who is a great sage among the demigods. He collected expositions of the Vedas, which deal with devotional service, and which inspire non-fruitive action. Srila Prabhupada's purport. The great Rishi Narada, who is an empowered incarnation of the personality of Godhead, propagates devotional service all over the universe. All great devotees of the Lord all over the universe and in different planets and species of life are his disciples. Srila Vyasadeva, the compiler of the Srimad Bhagavatam, is also one of his disciples. Narada is the author of Narada Pancharatra, which is the exposition of the Vedas, particularly for the devotional service of the Lord. This Narada Pancharatra trains the karmis, or the fruitive workers, to achieve liberation from the bondage of fruitive work. The conditioned souls are mostly attracted by fruitive work because they want to enjoy life by the sweat of their own brows. The whole universe is full of fruitive workers in all species of life. The fruitive works include all kinds of economic development plans. But the law of nature provides that every action has its resultant reaction, and the performer of the work is bound up by such reactions, good or bad. The reaction of good work is comparative material prosperity, whereas the reaction of bad work is comparative material distress. But material conditions, either in so-called happiness or in so-called distress, are all meant ultimately for distress only. Foolish materialists have no information of how to obtain eternal happiness in the unconditional state. Sri Narada informs these foolish fruitive workers how to realize the reality of happiness. He gives direction to the diseased men of the world how one's present engagement can lead one to the path of spiritual emancipation. The physician directs the patient to take treated milk in the form of curd for his sufferings from indigestion due to his taking another milk preparation. So the cause of the disease and the remedy of the disease may be the same, but it must be treated by an expert physician like Narada. The Bhagavad Gita also gives the same solution of serving the Lord by the fruits of one's labor. That will lead one to the path of Naishkarmya or liberation. Ma Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Parishaya Bhutale Shrimati Bhaktivedanta Swamini Tanamine Namaste Saraswate Devi Gauravani Pracharini Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschacha Deshtarini Om Ajnana Tamirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshara Unmilitam Jaina Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Vishtang Stapitang Jaina Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeyahang Shri Guru Shri Yutapada Kamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavangsha Shri Rupam Sagajatam Sahagana Ragana Tanvatam Tangsajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakanvatangsha Hey Krishna Karana Sindhu Dina Bando Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatro Vyasha Kripa Sindhu Vyayavacha Patitanang Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasudeva Gaura Bhaktavinoda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So in a millennium of the rishis, what does that mean? There are rishis in every millennium, obviously, but the point is that it begins from the top, not like modern so-called scientific understanding. It says that things start out with simple life forms that become more and more complex till you reach human beings who are the pinnacle, the apex of creation. No. First of all, Krishna, the supreme source of everything, as we heard earlier on, Sarga and Visarga. The energy for creation comes from Krishna. That's the difference between our desire to create, which we all have. We all like to make something, some clothing or some car or a city or like that. We like to make things, but the ingredients for creation are outside of us. If I want to make a table, I have to go to Home Depot and buy some wood and then get the tools and put it together. But Krishna doesn't have to do that. Everything emanates from him. So when he wants to create, as we heard earlier on the Mahapurusha, Karanakashaya Vishnu, who just by his desire, the whole Mahatattva becomes, and then by glancing over the Mahatattva, it's impregnated with the living entities, he expands again like that. So everything is happening by Krishna's will. He does not need to learn how to do it, doesn't have to take lessons from anyone, doesn't have to go anywhere shopping for the ingredients, it's all coming from him. Even up to Lord Brahma. But after Krishna, then we know he expands as the Garbhodakshina Vishnu. And in each universe, the lotus stem comes from his navel, Lord Brahma appears. Then he needs ingredients to carry on the subsequent creation. Therefore, you have Sarga, Atrasarga, and then Visarga, the subsequent creation. So, here in this chapter, we're hearing about the important incarnations of the Lord. And in today's verse, it's concentrating on Sri Narad Muni. Narad Muni is an empowered incarnation of the Lord, empowered to spread this devotional service. Bhakti. Prabhupada always translates as devotional service. He did not translate the Narada Pancharatra, but he did begin translating the Narada Bhakti Sutra. He translated and commented on the first 13 verses, and then he stopped. If you read the introduction to that book, Satsarup Maharaj explains how Srila Prabhupada was initially translating and commenting on Narada Bhakti Sutra and teachings of Lord Chaitanya simultaneously. So he would send a verse and purport for each of those two books, and then he would send a tape that had, you know, Prabhupada's dictating, and then Satsarupa Maharaj would transcribe the tape for each and the commentary, and then he would send Prabhupada back copies of the transcribed translation and purport. So this was going on, but when Prabhupada got to text number 13, then he said, I'm going to suspend Narada Bhakti Sutra. I'll get back to that later on, but I'm going to continue doing TLC, Teachings of Lord Chaitanya. So he did that. He finished TLC, but he never went back to Narada Bhakti Sutra. So after Prabhupada left the planet, Satsarupa Maharaj was asked to finish the work on the Narada Bhakti Sutra, which he did. It's a wonderful treatise, but the important thing is that in the very first verse, Atato Bhaktim Vyakhyasyatama Yamaha. Narada is saying, now, therefore, now, therefore, Bhaktim, devotional service, Prabhupada translates it as. Some people translate it just as devotion. But Prabhupada, from the very beginning, this is back in the 60s, Prabhupada, no. Bhakti means devotional service. Yaktya Yamaha means I will explain. So Narada Muni is saying in that very first treatise, these are sutras, Narada Bhakti, very tight. If you don't have guidance, you'll never understand what's stated there. And the reason I mention that is, as Satsarupa Maharaj says in his own introduction to the book, that they had actually found a version of this Narada Bhakti Sutra that was translated by some Mayavadi, non-devotee. And constantly they were doing that. They were finding these books from India. They thought anything book from India, you know, anything written in Hindi, anything like that, it's all right. And they would bring these books to Prabhupada, and Prabhupada would say, no, this is written by Mayavadi, you shouldn't read it like that. So gradually he was training them to just concentrate on knowledge coming down in our line. But this particular book he did take, and he said it was a bona fide book. The sutras are bona fide, but commentary by the non-devotees, the Mayavadis, is not acceptable. One should not read. as Sanatana Goswami said, proper later in 4 verse, Avaishnava Mukod Girnam, Putam Harikatamritam, Shavanam Naiva Karitavyam, Charpochista Yatapaya. Says that milk is very good food, obviously, but when it's touched by the lips of a serpent, one should not take it. One can be poisoned. So similarly, we should not hear from anyone who's Avaishnava, one who's not a Vaishnava, we should not hear any philosophy from them. Sometimes it's very difficult for members, devotees coming from India to get that point. They think, oh, so-and-so Swami from such and such place. He speaks so nicely on Rasalila and this and that. Why shouldn't I hear? No. Oh, Vaishnava. This person is simply reciting Vedic, so-called Vedic knowledge, Bhagavatam, for money. And that is forbidden. That is forbidden. Anyone who's reciting the scriptures as a means of livelihood is forbidden. Don't hear from them. Don't hear from them. You're saving yourself. Putam harikatamrita. But it's harikata. No. Shravanam na eva. Don't hear from them. Kartavyam. Sarpochista yatapaya. So, Prabhupada, was driving home this point. And they noticed that Prabhupada always translated bhakti as devotional service. So Narada Muni is empowered to deliver devotional service to anyone, everyone, anywhere, in all times, places, every species. As we know, Narada Muni doesn't just make disciples among the human or human types, even among the animals. One famous story Prabhupada himself tells that Narada Muni once made a cobra into his disciple. So as he is wont to do, he would travel around and periodically would visit his disciples. So he visited this cobra and he saw that he was looking all bedraggled and beaten up. And he said, well, what happened to you? So the cobra said, now that I'm your disciple, I'm trying to be a Vaishnava, I don't bite anymore and everybody knows that, so they come and they beat me. So Narada Muni said, I told you not to bite, but I didn't tell you that you can't scare them. So after that he started doing that. If anybody came, he would shh, and they would run away. So that applies to us also. As Vaishnavas, obviously we don't want to harm anyone, but you have a right to protect yourself. Not that you should allow yourself to be beaten up. And what to speak of protecting other devotees? That's always the first priority for devotees. For themselves, they may not be so concerned, but for other devotees, we should always be ready to protect them. Some of you, many of you here are new, you don't know the story, but back in the 70s in San Diego, the devotees, they were regularly being attacked by the Hells Angels. Like clockwork, every week they would come. They would get drunk at some local bar. They would come down with their... And they would come down to the temple. And same place where it is now, down in Pacific Beach. So they would come and they would regularly attack the devotees and beat them up. So the devotees contacted the devotees here in L.A. Because in Los Angeles, there were some chachiris in training, let's say. Prabhupada said once then, actually, though, even though they prided themselves on being chachas, right here, Prabhupada said, you don't take protection of the temple of the deity seriously enough. He says, in Kali Yuga, protection means guns and sticks. So some devotees have to be trained how to use guns and sticks. So anyway, they contacted the devotees here in L.A., and a group of them went down to take care of the situation. So if you've been to the San Diego temple, you know that on the backside, there's an alleyway that runs from Castadores. And that area of San Diego, there it's alphabetical streets, A, B, C, D. So you have Cass, Dawes, Everts, Fanuel, Ingram, like that, Gresham, Ingram. So the temple's between Cass and Dawes. And that alleyway runs down behind the temple. So that's where the Hells Angels would come on their bikes. So the devotees from LA were very smart. They put a bunch of oil there. So when the guys came down, vroom, vroom, they started sliding all over the place. And then the devotees jumped out with their guns and sticks and they beat the heck out of them. The funny part was that when the cops came, instead of being upset, they were happy. They said, we didn't know you guys had it in you to do that, because the devotees were regularly being beaten up and not doing anything about it. So they were actually happy that the devotees finally were defending themselves. So that was the point I'm trying to make, is that like that cobra, Narada Muni's disciple, we have a right to defend ourselves. We don't go out looking for a fight. We don't certainly attack people without provocation, but we have a right to protect ourselves. In our communities, individually, we have that right. Because we're living in a crazy age, as we see what happened recently. It's funny, I don't claim to be ultra-sensitive, but when these kind of things happen, It's in the ether, and you can't. I couldn't sleep that night for some. I didn't know about it. It happened about 10 something, but, and I didn't go to bed that night till way after midnight. But somewhere or other, when I fell asleep, finally, I couldn't sleep. I kept waking up every half hour like that, and I have weird dreams. I had weird dreams, real these demoniac type persons with long teeth, and they were, and one of them actually asked me the last part of the dream that really woke me up. This demoniac person said to me, "Tell me about Krishna." So that woke me up. I said, wow, that's really far out. And then, but I knew something had happened from experience, because something similar happened to me in 1996. I had visited Norway. So my first night in Oslo, I couldn't sleep. I just kept waking up. So the next morning I asked the devotees, did something happen in Oslo somewhere? Something terrible happened. I know it. So yes, they looked on the news, and a Russian plane had come in late at night. I think there were like 118 people on board. Came in, and somewhere or other, because of the weather conditions, missed the runway and plane crashed, and they all died. So somewhere or other, if you're sensitive enough, when there are these huge disturbances in the ether, you know. So I knew, when was that? Saturday night, Sunday night, whenever this happened. I just knew something had happened. Sure enough, the next morning when I checked the news, the sky had gone and shot up so many people. So the very next day, as Krishna would have it, myself and Narantara and Bhakti Ayandavi Devi Dasi and Bhakti Narina, we all had to do a school program. First time we went to this Catholic high school, Immaculate Heart, in East Hollywood. So I knew I had to say something to the kids, because, you know, you can't just have something big like that happen and not mention it in your presentation. So I told them, I said, don't let the atheists get to you because of this. Because the atheists, they love when things like this happen. This just proves there is no God. If there was a God, didn't he know this guy was going to do this? Even if the hotel staff didn't notice he was piling up all these guns, didn't God know it was going to happen? Why didn't he stop this guy from, you know, killing 58 people and injuring more than 500 people? Why didn't he stop him? If there is a God, how could he let this happen? So the example I use, I gave them the answer in two words: free will. We all have our free will, and we don't like our free will to be interfered with. Let's be honest, we don't. It's just like we all know the posted speed limit on the highway is 65 miles an hour, but be honest, how many of you strictly stay to 65? No, by free will, you know, we give ourselves the right to go faster than that. I got to get where I'm going, and you know, like that. But would we want CHP on our shoulder every single moment so that we couldn't ever go over 65? No, we don't want that either. We don't want the authorities looking at us so closely that we can't, by our free will, break the law that we think is okay to break. You see? So when you give yourself that freedom to break the law, there's a natural order. There's natural things that should be done and not be done. This is the beginning of yoga. Yama niyama. Things that we should do, things that we should not do. But majority of people on this planet, they don't want to be told what not to do. Whatever makes sense to them is okay. An example. But even that they can't stick to. Just another news item recently, one of our leaders in the government, well known for voting always in favor of anti-abortion legislation, firmly against abortion, has a track record in his voting being against abortion, which we would say is good. But at the same time, he's a married man. He was keeping a mistress. And so she calls him up and says, "I'm pregnant." He says, "Get an abortion." You see? Because their stance in these matters is not based on Shastra. It's not based on spiritual understanding. It's just sentiment. So when it's favorable, I have the right sentiment. As soon as it's unfavorable, I go against my own sentiment. No questions asked. So, of course, it came out in the public, and now he's resigning from his post. What can he say? After years and years of voting anti-abortion, in an instant, he's told his mistress, girlfriend, get an abortion. But our stance on anti-abortion has nothing to do with our sentiment. It is based on the Shastra, that wherever there's life, there's a soul, and that soul has an inherent right to live a natural life and die a natural death. It's not up to us to kill each other. Just imagine that mentality, to kill an unprotected child in a womb. And because they do that regularly, and because they slaughter animals regularly, even amongst the meat eaters, they have the term meathead, which means a dull, dumb person. They still don't get it. Even though they themselves are eating meat, they call each other meatheads. A meathead means a dull-headed, dumb person. So they're so dull-headed and dumb, they can't put two and two together. If you wantonly slaughter millions of animals, if you kill millions of children in the womb, the reaction, as Prophet says in today's purport, for every action, there is a reaction. For every action, there is a reaction. But they don't put two and two together. When the reaction comes, and the scriptures warn us that the reaction for your wanton slaughter of animals, all of this negative karma piling up, it comes back in the form of war, pestilence, famine, and these kinds of incidents that we have. Where somebody, this guy, for his whole life, he was 64 years old. He seemed to be a normal, average Joe. Nobody would be afraid of him. Just a normal next-door neighbor. An accountant. Average Joe. But because these people have given in to the lower modes of nature, and when the symptoms, one of the symptoms of the lowest mode of nature, tamagut, is madness. Mada. It's one of the six enemies of the living entity in the conditioned state. Kama, Krodha, Lobha, Moha, Mada, and Matsarya. These six enemies of the living entity in the conditioned state. So Mada, madness, is one of them. And because they're all mad themselves, they can't see when their so-called average neighbor, Joe, is sinking deeper and deeper into madness. The guy had been stockpiling weapons. What in the world do you need to have 40, 50 such weapons stuck in his garage, in his car, everywhere, but nobody saw it. It was just a normal guy, average guy. It didn't happen overnight. Over a long period of time, he had to go and buy all those guns, and nobody was putting two and two together. In his car alone, he had, in addition to the 20-something guns he had in the hotel room, he had another 19 in his car and thousands of rounds of ammunition and bomb making. And the guy was gone nuts. And this is what happens when you don't elevate yourself or allow yourself to be elevated under the direction of spiritual guides coming down in line from Narad Muni, then you slip lower and lower and lower. So one day, lo and behold, you're in total madness. Mada. And that madness, when you're in that mad state, you can and will do anything. You see, when you do all the little things that you're not supposed to do, like killing animals and eating them and killing the babies in the womb, then you get to the point where you don't see any problem with shooting up a concert full of thousands of people. You don't see any problem with it because your heart has become so hard, your mind is so dull, contaminated, that you don't see any problem. And therefore, you can make a plan to do just that. And we know it's not an isolated incident. So many other things like this have happened in the past and won't continue to happen. If people are not systematically elevated from the modes of passion and ignorance into the mode of goodness and beyond, to Shuddha Sattva. And this is what Bhakti Yoga is meant to do. This is what Bhakti Yoga does do. We all should have experience of that. We all should have experience of that. I know in my own case. On the outside, just like this guy, looked like a normal fellow, going to college, finished the third year of engineering school. But the real thing was partying back in the late 60s, 70s, meant drugs. You had to have some drugs to enhance your enjoyment. And I remember, literally, I'm being honest with you now, I remember going to school in New York, lived in New York, but I went upstate New York. We had to go far and wide for partying. So we went to another college campus, upstate New York. And somebody brought this heavy, heavy marijuana. It was some Nigerian stuff. And I remember smoking that stuff and thinking, oh my God, I'm getting mad. It was so heavy. I felt instantly I was becoming mad. So this is what happens when you flirt with intoxication and illicit sex and meat eating and gambling. These things drag you gradually down into madness. And when you're mad, you can do anything. That's what madness means. A mad person can do anything. Externally, they may look all right. Just like, let's say you have some project. You want somebody to build something for you or take care of your lawn or something. Externally, they may look okay. But if they're mad, would you put a machete in the hand of a mad person? Yes, they may cut the grass, but in any moment, they may turn around and cut you. But the modern society is simply concerned with externals. If the baby is born with all the limbs and they look nice, ooh, and they don't have a plan for systematically elevating that nice-looking child into a well-trained human being whose goal in life is to go back to God. And they don't have that. They themselves, as parents, don't have that goal. So if the child simply grows up with all limbs intact and gets A's in school, wonderful child. And that's what happened in my case. I was the son of a teacher. I am the son. She's still here. No, hasn't left us yet. Got all A's in school, so everything was kosher. But by age 13, I was using that as my cover to go into all kinds of nonsense, because I know my parents wouldn't care. As long as I kept getting the good grades, they don't care. You could stay out all night and do all nonsense. They don't care. Just keep getting the good grades. Get into a good school. Go to a good college, like that. So that's not enough. The world is full of such people who have gone to good colleges, graduated, have good jobs, have enough money in the bank. But because they're flirting with the lower modes of nature, this is what happens. They become mad. They become mad. So it is an opportunity for us as devotees to go out and preach. I've given the same class before because it's been so many disasters have happened. Go out and preach. Explain to people the necessity of Christian consciousness. It's not optional. If you don't take to the path of Christian consciousness, devotional service, you're flirting with madness. And this is what happens when the reaction comes home. Everybody goes, oh my God. Or they say, no, there can't be a God, because he wouldn't let this happen. But in any case, they can't explain it. They don't know. We understand. We know. You cultivate a mode of ignorance, and this is what happens. When you cultivate intoxication, illicit sex, gambling, Las Vegas, this is what happens. People sink into madness and they do all kinds of crazy things. So our mission is to go out and give them these books to convince them to take to the path of devotional service, bhakti yoga, which in this age is very simple. Simply chant the Maha Mantra. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama. And gradually, as we learned in the previous chapter, Tadara Jastamo Bhava Kamaloba Deyasi. Teta Eta Navidam Sitang Satve Prasidati. If you take to this bhakti process, then gradually the influence of the lower modes, passion and ignorance, will be dissipated. And one Sitang Satve Prasidati. One gets placed in the mode of goodness, and then one can go beyond that to Shuddha Sattva. So we can stop here. Any questions, comments, discussion? Amarendra's hand went up first. I can hear you, but if you wait for the mic, then everybody on the internet can hear you also.
You were saying in the beginning, can you hear
me now? No, I said I can hear you, but on the internet they can't hear you. So just 1 second, the mic is coming. We like to have it broadcast.
Well, that could take a while.
It shouldn't.
By that was a code word or a euphemism for karma. It's a reaction to breaking the laws of nature. But the Christians, they also have, many of them said, well, it's Las Vegas, Sin City. They're getting a sinful reaction. They're suffering the reaction for that. And even I read that one vegan person in the Midwest said, well, it's just 58 meat eaters. What's the big deal? They kill all these animals and this is what's going to happen. Now she's in hiding because she's got so many death threats for saying that. So how do we distinguish ourselves? It's very politically incorrect these days to blame the victims. And we saw that. I saw that personally in the context of the child abuse era and so forth. Victim blaming is taboo. It's not good. It's counterproductive. So how do we distinguish our preaching and ourselves and our philosophy from the Christians that are saying, oh, yeah, it's a result of these sinful reactions, or the vegans and the vegetarians say, oh, it's a result of animal slaughter, which it ultimately is, but it's politically incorrect and it doesn't go over well. So how do we finesse that or distinguish ourselves philosophically to avoid being put into that same category?
Very good question. In the Christian world, we have this phrase, Bible thumpers. People go out with a Bible and literally use it to beat people over the head. So we're not Gita thumpers, because we've experienced ourselves the effects of following the tenets of the Shastras, that you can come out of complete darkness, which all of us were born into. All of us are born into darkness. And by the touch of the spiritual master, Krishna's representative, and the Shastra, we are still in the process of elevating. But we can see the results. It's not theoretical. We can see practically the influence that it has had on us. Many of us from my generation, you're also my generation, we can see, again, sinking into madness from intoxication and illicit sex and like that. And Srila Prabhupada pulled us out of that. So we see the difference. And with that, armed with that practical experience, we can go out and tell the world. Well, we're not hitting you over the head with the Gita. We're making a practical recommendation here that if you want a country full of citizens that are willing and ready and always able to do good to each other, this is the formula. You can't do it just by legislation. There's so many laws on the books. Don't do this, don't do that. But people still do it because the hearts are not clean. So for cleansing the heart, you have to take to the bhakti process. Without that, it doesn't matter how many laws you pass. Don't do this, don't do that. Because they're mad from association with the lower modes of nature, they're going to do it anyway. And it just becomes worse and worse and worse. So when we say, when we recommend to people, don't eat meat, it's not just an optional lifestyle choice. It actually has practical ramifications for society. If the majority of the people don't eat meat, if the majority of the people don't intoxicate themselves, if the majority of the people don't gamble, then you'll have fewer and fewer of these kinds of incidents because people will gradually become clearer enough to see the path back to home, back to Godhead. And they won't do these kinds of crazy things. But we see, here's an average guy. I mean, to most people, even above average, he had so much money, living a nice style, you know. But the heart is not clean, and the mind is therefore becoming more and more focused on doing horrible things, which eventually he did. He had planned it out before. He had targeted other places. When they look in his background, he had made other targets, but he never went through with it. So it was not just a snap, you know, broke, and he just did it all of a sudden. Obviously not. He stockpiled his weapons. He carefully planned this hotel that overlooked this venue. Intelligence is there, but misuse of intelligence, if you're not properly guided how to go forward, elevate yourself out of the modes of nature back to the original spiritual platform. So we're not targeting anybody. We're not trying to be, you know, killjoys or... No. We're saying if you want a society where you don't breed these kinds of individuals, you have to take to the path of devotional service. You have to take to the path of bhakti yoga. It's the only remedy for cleansing the heart, cleansing the mind, so that a person can be elevated back to what's actually normal condition. The condition of being a pure devotee is actually the normal condition of the living entity. But when you're incarcerated in this material world, that seems like impossible level to attain. That's because we're all mad here. We're all mad here. And the cure for this madness is the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, chanting Hare Krishna, eating prasadam. These simple things will gradually cure people of their madness, bring them back to the normal state. And then Kirtan Prabhu had his hand up first.
Thank you. In the beginning of the class, you were saying that anyone who... we shouldn't hear Bhagavatam from anyone who's earning money from reciting Bhagavatam, earning a livelihood. But I know there's some devotees that will charge for, you know, Bhakti Shastri or Bhakti Vaibhava. Like online, I was trying to find a Bhakti Vaibhava course, but all of them charge money. So I'd have to be paying someone to teach me. So can you...
Yes. In general, we receive this knowledge for free. We didn't pay Srila Prabhupada anything. And we are supposed to pass it on. But at the same time, Prabhupada himself said that when they invite you to come and speak, there should be some honorarium. You should charge some honorarium. Prabhupada said that right here in Los Angeles. Because devotees were getting invitations to come and speak in different places. And Prabhupada said when they invite you to speak, they should give something. If they want to hear for free, then we have our temple. Let them come to the temple. Let them come to our classes. We don't charge anything. Anybody can come to Bhagavatam class. But if they invite you to come somewhere and speak, now, as the person who arranges the academic outreach here, I have to admit, I don't give them any price. We go out, but gradually they're giving. Gradually they're giving. We just, that class that we did on Monday at Immaculate Conception or Immaculate Heart High School, in Hollywood, West Hollywood, East Hollywood, sorry. The teacher gave donation. Not a big one, but So gradually people are understanding that if you invite the Vaishnavas to speak, you should give some donation. And so for many, many years I've been speaking, decades I've been speaking in schools, very rare when a teacher gives. And if you even mention it, there was one teacher downtown, Cal State LA, she had been inviting us for many, many times. So I kind of hinted once that the tradition is that if you invite Vaishnavas to speak, and she blew up, she got mad. She got mad at me. I don't have any money, and the school doesn't give us any money. She really got literally mad at me for even hinting. But culture is that if you invite Vaishnavas to speak, you should give some honorarium. And so, but I don't do it. But generally, gradually, it's more and more. A few weeks ago, we did high school in Palos Verdes, and the teacher gave both classes, actually. We went to two classes, both because they're two different high schools in Palos Verdes. We went to both of them on the same day. And both teachers gave something. So they're gradually understanding that they should give some honorarium. But we don't force it. But, yeah, they should give something. Now, Mother Karuna Dharani had her hand up first. And then, Maharaj, you wanted to say something? No. Okay, so Mother Karuna Dharani.
This is in response to Avarendra Prabhu's question. One time, I always remember this because I would have a hard time understanding about all the bombs and things that they stock. And a disciple of Prabhupada asked him, well, they're stocking all these bombs, Prabhupada, are they going to use them? And Prabhupada said, if a woman buys a lot of clothes and beautiful shoes and she puts them in a closet, do you remember that Prabhupada saying that? He said, someday, do you think she'll wear them? You know, so this, you know, I could identify with that. So the idea is that I think that this man, you can say that he was a big demon or that the people had bad karma because they got shot. But if you think about it, that man's, he probably paid, you know, tens of thousands of dollars to the government in taxes throughout his life because he was a tax-paying citizen. And the government spent hundreds of millions of dollars developing weapons. And they were just in it together, the government and the man. He's paying his taxes. The government is using it to develop weapons. And it's inevitable that those things have to be used, and they're going to be used in one way or another. You know, I mean, if it comes down to it, the whole country will be torn apart because we're basically, this country, the United States of America, is the biggest military producer in the world. So it's just inevitable. It's a matter of time. And those things have to be used. If we produce them, then the mentality is there that we want to use them. It's just going to happen.
Yeah, okay. So obviously there could be a lot more discussion, but time is of the essence here. So thank you. Gantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Gaur Bhaktivinoda Ki Jai. Whenever there's a disturbance, a big disturbance like that in the atmosphere, then obviously...